Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, going to be with you. And I want to just say, I have with me someone that not only do I consider a friend, but I consider a good person. And his name is Peter Marchetti. And no, before anybody asked, he didn't pay me to say that. I said it on my own. But he is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. He was the city council president for a long time. He was a city councilor. And this is me, and in a minute I'll give the disclaimer. I really think he brought a lot of knowledge and experience to the process of being mayor. Now, the views and opinions expressed on his program are mine, and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, or the person riding in the southbound lane going north on the city's high sidewalk, bike lane. Good afternoon, or good morning, Mayor Marchetti.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you can probably tell by now. I had some computer issues that I had to get ironed out. And I meant, Peter, what I just said. I there's a lot happening, and I positive stuff. And I think you should, you know, take some credit for that.
Well, I think this was the year that we have made some changes. And I think in some cases, what I have, you know, just kind of walked away with is that as a city councilor, you had one viewpoint or you saw one process.
Right.
As the mayor, you see another. And so being mayor, getting elected and taking office in January, you really only have control, say, of a half a budget process. And so you've never sat in the mayor's seat while you're doing a budget and saying, okay, what departments turn back what monies, what departments are continually overdrawn or, you know, deficit spending in certain line items. And those are things that I think city council pays attention to, but not as close attention as that of the mayor or the finance director. And so being in the position and looking at those, it gives you some added information. So as we do the budget for fiscal year 26, you have some new experiences that you have gathered. And so it will make a difference in my thought process going through that budget process.
I watched the meeting the other night between the city council and school committee. And I thought it was a good airing. I think there's a ways to go, but I think it was a great first effort.
So I thought there were some great talking points that came out of there. I shouldn't call them talking points. Clarification points that came out of there.
Yeah.
And so like one of the things for me is, you know, I've continually heard that we cut the school department budget. And I was hearing that even before the city council made the $200,000 reduction. And so, you know, if folks are using the word cut to symbolize that 200,000, then I think it's a different conversation. But when we embarked on the budget process, each department told me what a level service funded budget would be. And the school department budget level service funds needed was in excess of $6 million more than the year prior. The school department budget was increased by $4 million plus and really put us at about a $1.5 million deficit in order to get to the level service funded budget. But the budget that the city council passed and the budget that this office put forward was the largest city appropriation ever, topping $19 million or approaching $19 million. And Chapter 70 money, the highest it's ever been at 63. So an $82 million city funded, city side funded between Chapter 70 and city dollars, tax dollars to fund the school department. And so we start saying things and we start saying, well, cut, 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 cuts, cuts, cuts. Maybe, but it's not because the funding was cut in comparison to the prior year. There was additional funding. And so that was a piece for me. I think the other piece for me was, you know, who, how, what, when, where, and why. And you know, all the departments were told to go give me a level service funded budget. The schools did that. And in the meantime, it was like, well, you can increase by 3.5% because I just don't know how we get there. And then the last piece, you know, everyone is talking about their tax dollars or tax dollars or tax dollars. I think we all know deep down somewhere that our taxes are never going to go down, at least in the current environment where everything is going up. But as we have the conversations, we have to take into account the three major players of your tax bill, and one is the rate. One is the assessed value of your property, and then the last piece is your bill. And we're going to see later in the year as we approach the tax classification piece that average property values went up by 30 grand in Pittsfield again for another year. And so those numbers are important and, you know, in some cases frightening. I bought a house 9 years ago, and the assessed value has almost doubled in 9 years. So paying taxes on a $200,000 home is now paying taxes on a $400,000 home, and nothing has really happened. And there's no way for a city to control that stuff. That's the market that's taking place. And, you know, I have a friend who on occasion, he's a realtor, and on occasion he will message me when an issue comes up that is, don't, you know, don't raise our taxes and don't. And so I said, have property values stop rising at the rates that they're rising. And when you do that, then I'll focus on what I can do in terms of taxes. And I didn't get a response, and I kind of figured, well, that was a little bit cantankerous of me to say something like that. But when we talk about taxes and we talk about tax rates, we've got to take into account all of the factors that lead to what that tax bill is. And right now, you know, I think the biggest one is the property value and how it continues to increase. And for folks like you and I that, you know, you've owned far longer than I have, but having to adjust to, well, it used to be this and it's now this. Now there's a positive side to that. If you were at an age where you wanted to downsize and sell your house and maybe go into senior housing, then hey, isn't this like a great thing? I bought for 100, I sold for 400. But if you're still living in that house, it's not a good thing for you. And let's talk about the next generation. You know, interest rates are higher than they've been in quite some time, and property values are higher than they have been in quite some time, which is a double whammy for a young couple that's looking to buy
That's
a
right.
home and set up roots.
And I agree 100%. And you know, we used to be on a fixed income, but now with inflation and everything, we're on kind of a shrinking income. So I'm 100% in agreement with what you just said, every piece of it. And I think I want to be kind. I don't want to, there's enough animosity in the world today. But I would recommend to politicians, if I could, you may get 10 votes if you're saying cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. I think we've lived through that in with other city councils, I guess is what I'm saying. Let's collaboratively work together to do what we can to cut taxes. But I had this discussion with a friend, a good friend. If you cut taxes, you cut services in many areas. And I think as we're into that, I think your efforts in the and believe me, I've heard about them. But I'm a strong proponent of the new waste management program. Now, that said, I need a second trash container, but I'll deal with that after the show. But I think it's working out.
Well, I mean, I think that we, you know, we gave a presentation to the city council 2 meetings ago now about how we did with our rollout for the recyclable part. And I know a lot of folks are saying, why are you doing this as slow as you're doing it? Well, we've learned along the way that even though we think that we were good in some of the timelines and some of the things that we've said, we weren't quite making the mark. And so instead of having everything be happening all at once, we could recover. And so only certain sections of the city would have a problem instead of the entire city.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, some of it is, you know, I've heard some folks say, I didn't know I needed to start using it right away. Well, I know we're using code red messaging. I know that we're using social media. I know we're telling folks, but then I've heard that people have heard from other people that, no, we're not going to start this till January 1st. I think it's going well. I mean, we knew changing a system that impacts 17,400 plus households.
Yeah.
Which that's the households, that's not the people. So let's just say changing something that's going to impact 40,000 plus people and how they react and do things, it's not easy to do. And in some cases, I know some households of one or two that are saying, I need a second garbage tote.
Yeah.
And to that, I say, I don't understand why. If it's two people and you're truly recycling, you should be able to get by in a 48-gallon tote. And I hear the families that are saying, you know, this is a large family tax. But when I look back at history, so under the current system, smaller families are paying to subsidize trash collection for larger families.
Yeah.
We never talked about the small family tax. When we look at the amount of our tax dollars that goes to a Pittsfield public school system, and by no way am I advocating that we change things, but for 24 years, I paid real estate taxes to support a Pittsfield public school system and never put a child through school. And is that a small family tax? And I think that on occasion you hear from a single person or a couple without kids or seniors that say, why am I paying for this school? Well, you know, I think schools are one of those things that we all need to share the burden, because the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
You're exactly right.
You know, here we are. I also think that some form of municipal trash pickup is needed. And at what side of the fence are you going to be on to be, no, I'm paying for you, or no, I'm not paying for you, you need to pay for yourself? Do you get to be, and, you know, at the end of the day, I understand from an economic driver standpoint, but the larger your family is, period, the, you know, more expensive it is to have that family. And, you know, buying groceries for a family of six as compared to buying groceries for a family of two, totally different. Most of us that have not transitioned to a meter, that are small families, are most likely subsidizing those large families that also don't have meters. And so as a community, I think there needs to be a way to embrace change and look at the logic behind the change. And so...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
You know, 5 years ago, trash was 3 million. Today it's 5. So in 5 years from now, it's 8 or 9. And we're saying, please don't raise my taxes. Well...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's... I know it's a battle cry in so many political camps. This one raised the taxes. This one, taxes are taxes, and like I said, we were on a fixed income, and now we're on a shrinking income. But what I see with this, and I've watched the rollout of the trash situation. And you're right. I mean, someone told the Polish princess, "Oh, this is your first week. You can put out garbage if you got it left, or it doesn't fit in the bag." Well, you can't. But the other piece too is, once the newness wears off, I think the only reason we overdid it, we had a big party for the grandson's second birthday, so obviously. You could have postponed a week to start. No, I'm only kidding. But the I really think that we are making progress as a city. I guess what irritated me was when the federal government pulled all that money back from the schools. Nobody's ready for that yet. What were they thinking?
Well, you know, that was an interesting part of the joint meeting of the City Council School Committee, right? Is that, yeah. And I don't remember how many years ago it was, but we got a grant. I think it was a state grant that we would get X number of dollars to hire 5 firefighters.
Right.
But part of that grant was that you needed to keep those firefighters on for a certain period of time after the grant ran out. And I talk about our pilot program to have bike lanes on North Street, also a grant. All the ARPA funding that the city of Pittsfield received, $40 million in ARPA funded grant. All the ESSER money, so the school's ARPA type money. We all knew when we were getting those monies that they were grants and they were valid for 3 years. And so when we get grants to improve services, I'm not pointing the fingers at any particular people, but when you get those monies, we all start spending. And I don't think we really look at the big picture and say, is what we're doing sustainable?
Yeah.
And so it's great to get the grant and it's great to add positions and it's great to do something, but if there isn't a plan for when that grant runs out, it's a short-term fix that might lead to longer-term problems.
I agree, and I think back, I forget what they call them, city service CSOs or something like that when I was on the police department, and they were granted. And the same thing happened. The grant ran up and out the door they went. And they were really beneficial, in my opinion. Like, rather than tie a police officer up directing traffic at an accident, they would go. But the other piece too, Peter, I think we got to do something with civil service. I mean, you want to talk about a dinosaur, an archaic, poorly functioning department. And, you know, I know I've gotten the hate mail, but I see Chief Sammons go up. I see Chief Dolly go up and say in budget time, how come your overtime budget's so high? Well, we got to have so many people on duty all the time. It's not rocket science. So I think if the city would look into that, and I don't know where the unions are with it, but most of them, it's their tax dollars too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was conversation couple years ago about this, and then the landscape changed, and you know the conversations about it stopped. So one of the great things about being mayor is that you inherit contract negotiations inevitably at some point in your term, and most city contracts expire and the end of fiscal year 25, so June of this year. So contract conversations will start soon. And, you know, I think that as a first year mayor, it'll be good to kind of put everything that I can on the table in terms of conversation to really see, you know, where we're at and how to get there. And, you know, this is how we've always done it. Montage of answers goes away, and try something new and try something different. And
yeah, I think in its, I'd be looking forward to next year's budget hearings too. I have to say, went to the dam meeting, the Bel Air Dam. I never knew they had it. I was very impressed with the presentation. I grew up in that neighborhood. They're talking about sediment and all the stuff that's in it. Well, as I said at that meeting, the woolen mill behind that fed that pond, when I would come home and the Polish princess from school, one day it'd be red, the next day it'd be blue, it'd be green. I guess what I'm trying to say is the sediment to me is, before they get digging too much, they might want to see what they did in that plant. And that all those woolen mills burned coal for 100 years.
Right.
And then are you probably, well, you're younger than I am a little bit, not much, but I can remember taking coal from our house and throwing it for walking on the sidewalk when they were slippery. So, I mean, to say there's coal sediment in there, like it's a surprise.
Duh. Right.
But I thought it was very well done. I like the plan. I think it's going to be fine. And I'm very happy that the Polish Falcons will not be in the BAMC parking lot one day.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we come back from the break, the mayor's here. And why do I have the mayor on and other people on once a month? And I'll tell you why. Because you heard it right from him about the trash, about the price for the rates and all that, taxes. One of the things that we just had, when I say myself and the Polish, someone assured us, just put that garbage out. They said they'll take extra garbage. Well, then we checked, and that was a misnomer. So that's why I have them on. You're hearing it right from their mouths about what's what and who's who in the zoo. And I just really think we have such an opportunity in this city right now to think forward, be forward thinking.
Right. Well, and I mean, we have done, I think, a fairly decent job of communicating on issues and trying to bring issues forward, you know, especially the trash. There were a number of pre-meetings, a number of implementation meetings, using every media outlet source we can. You know, I mean, I think it goes back to the age-old thing, like, for how many years did I run the 4th of July parade?
Yeah.
And nothing would aggravate me more than on July 5th, when someone would say there was a parade in Pittsfield yesterday. And, you know, geez, if you're new to the area, maybe you don't know, but if you were born and raised here, and you don't know there's a 4th of July parade on the 4th of July or the 5th of July if the 4th is a Sunday, then how do you try to communicate to get that information out there so that others know? And do you use the Berkshire Eagle? No, I don't subscribe. Do we use Facebook? No, I don't like Facebook. Do we? I mean, that's where we end up, and it inevitably there's got to be more options. It's just that we haven't discovered what those are yet.
Well, you were on the city council, but you weren't the mayor. So when you inherit something as massive as the city of Pittsfield and all its little moving parts, kind of unrealistic, don't you think, to expect that for people to expect the mayor, he's got his hands on everything. I think you do, and you certainly use your department heads. But there's a lot of moving parts, even to get a sidewalk fixed.
Right. And you know, it's funny. This summer, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Oh my God, it's so hard to get around the city. There's construction every place. Well, we all want our roads fixed. We all want our sidewalks fixed. Unfortunately, in order for those things to happen, we need to inconvenience a area at a time. And you know, if I hear about the condition of Valentine Road one more time, and that you know,
I have
if
a
the
question
mayor
lived, to interrupt you, just one. You live on Valentine Road, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, just.
But I mean, I hear and I see. If the mayor lived on Valentine Road, it wouldn't be in the condition that it is. And
the mayor,
the mayor does live on Valentine Road.
That was the point I was trying to make.
I want to go post those kind of things, but you know, the fact of the matter for Valentine Road, there's still some water work that needs to be done. And as we all know from the other side of Valentine Road, we completely repaved Valentine Road, and then we said, well, what a genius idea. We have to fix these water lines, so let's dig it up again and fix the water lines. Well, we're not going to do that if we know that we've got work to do. And we talk about our outside contractors that have to dig up roads right after something was done. You know, we've all agreed we need to do a better job of working with Eversource and Verizon so that we're not paving a road and finding out next year they are going to tear it up to do something. So, I mean, I think we're in some good spots. We will see how that goes.
Yeah, I think we're making progress as we should. It's incremental, but it's better than going crazy and then have to go refix it.
Correct. Yep.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. His name is Peter Marchetti. He lives on a street that has probably one of the worst streets of potholes in the city, but he deals with it. And I think until we get to a point where I like their philosophy, and nothing gets me angrier than, well, we put brand new street. Oh, now we got to dig a trench for a new water pipe or a new gas line or whatever. I think right now it's just live with it for a while. And I don't say that sarcastically. It's just it's a new way of fixing streets in Pittsfield. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. There's more to come.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. His name is Peter Marchetti. Now, that may sound familiar. It should, because he was also president of the city council. He was on the city council. He ran the Pittsfield parade, 4th of July parade. And all I can tell you is this. When he entered the office, he had brought with him experience, but also, I think, ideas for the future. And so now I'm going to ask him, what do you think some of your biggest issues you're still facing?
So I think some of it's personnel. We are recruiting for our new executive director of the senior center, or the director of council on aging. And we went through the first round of seeking applicants. We did some interviews. We offered a position. The salary range was not acceptable. And so we've entered the second round of seeking more applicants. We are seeking a new city solicitor. Our city solicitor is retiring at the end of the calendar year. And so I need to find a new city solicitor. Donovan O'Connor does not have anyone in the staff that wants to fill the role. So we're doing both a RFP for a potential firm and also just a job posting to see if we can attract some folks. And so, you know, I think developing personnel and looking kind of at the salaries as a piece. The William Stanley Business Park, the PETA property, continues to be, you know, where do we go? And, you know, we're almost done, if not done, with the reconfiguration, I guess is the best word for it, of Site 9 over at the William Stanley Business Park. And now, you know, beginning to enter into the second phase of development there and development across the street with some housing. Cool. Thanks to the collaboration or partnership with Milltown and PETA themselves. Yesterday, Mike Coakley, business development manager, was at a press conference. The city has been awarded $500,000 to begin some of the same process that we did for Site 9 for Site 7 and 8.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, I think trying to find the right mix of employers and companies to come into Pittsfield and open shop, or, you know, looking at the companies that we can get to expand or to support the companies. You know, I look at Interprint that, you know, a few years ago had a couple choices. And one was to build a 20-something million, almost $30 million expansion to its Pittsfield facility, or move everything to the south. And, you know, Pittsfield has to get creative and you know, fill the toolbox with tools to say, we want you here. And we have conversations all the time about TIFs, and folks will say, you know, something along the lines of, you don't give me a tax break. Well, the more business that we bring to Pittsfield and the more that we expand our tax base, we are giving you an ability to have reduced taxes, or I should say a reduction in the amount of increases that you're going to see. And so, you know, I think that there's that piece. And then I think, you know, lastly, not necessarily a mayor issue, more a school side, school committee issue, but we have lots of work to do within our Pittsfield public school system and to get some of our schools out of status and, you know, be working with them. And you know, maybe people are alarmed and maybe they're not, but I think when you're having a conversation with Company X that is looking to move to your town, they want to know what the quality of life is.
Yep.
And the quality of life is, what is there to do and how safe is your community? And then, you know, for a good majority of the folks, it's what does your school system look like? And, you know, what is that going to do for my child? And so I think there's some work that needs to be there. And then lastly, I think that we continue, you know, we were before the city council a meeting or so ago, accepting a compact community compact grant. And we're going to be spending a lot of time having conversations about whether our public services department is set up to be the most efficient, productive department it is. And like, I'll ask the questions as we go through. And I try to be like, okay, let's talk about police and fire. And police and fire have deputies and captains and sergeants and lieutenants. And, you know, there's a pecking order, if you will, of management. And then we look at public services and, all right, we have superintendents and we have foremen, but are they the same? And do they hold the same weight? And are they there? And then I start saying, okay, public services. Our parks and maintenance crew is inside public services. Is that where they belong?
Yeah.
And maybe they do. And if they do, then why is the recreation director work for community development?
Right.
Why does the parks and open space manager work in community development? And oh, by the way, parks and grounds just aren't doing parks. They're doing school.
Yeah.
Facilities. And so does that make sense? And then, geez, the maintenance department. Where does the maintenance department intersect with the public services department? And so we've got the grant and we're off and running. We're about ready to set a scope of services with the Collins Institute. And so the question comes down to, which I already think I know the answer, to do what we have put on the books that we're doing. Do we have the appropriate amount of staffing?
Right, right.
And I think the answer.
I worked for a boss one time, and he wasn't a kind person, but he was. I learned a lot from him. Two things: one, how not to treat people, and how easy it is to come up with a plan, but how difficult it is to implement it. And through my career, I've had to implement several plans that other people have made. But I think what you're saying is so true. And I think the city got bifurcated so many ways. And I think a lot of it was political, not actual. The job wasn't, you know, looking at the job descriptions, redoing those, and saying, looking at that pecking order. Now, just to go back for a minute. There was an opinion piece in the Eagle about holding the school department, now that they have a plan to get out of status, holding them accountable. Well, absolutely. But that it's kind of, in my opinion, one-sided or narrow-sighted to there's a lot more people that have the responsibility to educate the children of the city of Pittsfield. And it's got to be a broader brush rather than just take the school department, beat them up all the time, because the if the kid isn't in school and the kid isn't in, I'm not going to get into it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true. I mean, they need to lead the charge.
They need to educate. That's their right. job.
Yep. And you know, I think the school administration needs to provide the roadmap of how to do that. And, you know, I think that as a community and as I continue to look at a variety of different things, the community that I'm living in today was not the community that I grew up in.
No, me either.
And the community that I grew up in is not the community that you grew up in.
No.
And the community that you grew up in was not the same as the community that your father grew up in. And so we all always want to go, well, do you remember the days, golly gee, this is, you know, where it was. And, you know, when you look at it at a big picture, you know, someone who lived in Morningside.
Yeah.
Right. There was the Morningside Church, St. Mary's Church Fair. Yeah. There was the Holy Family Polish picnic. Which is now St. Joe's Polish picnic, right? Yeah. So we also have to adapt to the world that we're living in, right? Growing up as a kid, I think I heard something about maybe there would be electric cars. Thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah. Jets.
No, no way, right? I think 2 years ago I was away at the MMA annual meeting and I was in a workshop session about cars that would drive themselves.
Yeah, they're here.
Future. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm the worst backseat driver there is. You think I'm going to get in a car and it's going to just take me where I want to go? No. But I mean, you hear those things. If you were growing up in the 50s, you heard a lot about the fact that we were going to put a person on the moon. And now we look at today and what do we have? Two people stuck in space?
Yeah.
Three people stuck in space? So we have to learn to adapt and, you know, we have to call out the issues, but not to victimize the people that are the issues. And so, you know, we know one of the biggest issues with the Pittsfield public school system and our ability to teach is attendance records.
Exactly.
Right. So if they don't come,
yeah,
they don't have to be there. You know, I know cell phones are a really big issue and it's a conversation. If you're in school to be being educated, do you need to be playing on your phone? And let's face it, I think we all get in a mode that we become addicted to our phone or to our tablet. Or to, geez, what are they saying on Facebook? You know, and we'll go there and I'll read and, geez, that mayor, he's not really a nice guy. Just read all this stuff about him. And, you know, First Amendment right, you can believe what you want to believe. It's frustrating when you believe what you believe and you put out in black and white something that's not factual. You know, and I've had conversations with folks that, hey, can we try something different, right? If you're a business owner or you are a person and you see something, can I ask the favor of having 24 or 48 hours to solve the problem? And that you call my office and give us an opportunity to solve something before you put it on Facebook. And, you know, I mean, the problem is that once you put it on Facebook, someone's going to see it. We're going to try to address it. But what good does that do? Because now there's 362 comments on your Facebook thread, and the issue is no longer an issue because it should have been taken care of and it wasn't. And we fixed it. So I'm always intrigued on those kind of things.
Well, and I think too that this technology again, it can be, as with all technology, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. I mean, I've had issues and never had a problem calling the city hall, calling the department head, whatever, and getting something done. But just just kind of rewind before we have to go. The issue of kiddos of being helped and getting them in school, it's attendance, but it's also preparing them to go to school.
Right.
Preschools are great. I'm all for that. I'll just go back to my experience. I would say 85% or more of all the violent youthful offenders I had all had IEPs. And truancy was the way of life. And so we've got to, as a community, and you just said I never thought you'd hear this coming from my mouth, but it does take a village. And it takes the social service agencies, it takes the police in some cases, the courts, the juvenile. But to just hang this noose around the school department, and when some of the kids get there, they're so challenged or angry or whatever, that's a whole other issue that they have to deal with internally. But they also need help on the outside. I'm not waving a flag for the school system. It's just I sat with kids that and interviewed every one of them and thought to myself, I can see why they weren't in school. There was no incentive for them to go to school.
Right. Well, I think it's the same on the city side, right?
Yeah.
Me sitting in the corner office by myself without a team behind me that is dedicated to the Pittsfield, right? We just had a department head meeting, and one of the comments, is that I can't have 20 department heads all working their own agenda, all doing their own thing, all thinking that it's all about them, and nobody collaborating and working together. And, for me, there are just certain things that I don't want to know. Step one is, step two is, step 99 is, I just want to get done, right? I look at taking office and having most of the doors closed and hearing about only one way in, like open the doors. But then we couldn't open the Fenn Street doors because there were safety issues. Then you look at the front steps of City Hall that, every other thing was bumped out. Listen, like, what can we do to fix it? And, how do we work together to make sure that we do the right things? And so for the week that the front steps were being leveled and re kind of configured so that they stayed in spot. Oh my God, it was an inconvenience. We couldn't use that door. But now we have a front walkway that is safe and secure again.
Yes.
Changing the guardrails or the railings on both the Fenn Street side and in back of City Hall, putting a can of fresh paint on a door. It's those things that we need to kind of emphasize, because if you're someplace that's dark, dreary, grungy, then that's how you feel. If you're someplace that's upbeat, I mean, we did our utmost this year to maintain a North Street that looked like a downtown should look. And you know, we have still some officers on bikes. We still have some co-responders with officers that are out there having conversations. We know that there are just certain issues that are plaguing Pittsfield, but they're plaguing the rest of the world.
That's exactly,
you know, and if it's a houseless person or a panhandler or whatever the case may be, geez, they don't have this in Lenox. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But they have it in Northampton, they have it in Lowell. And you know, you asked earlier about, you know, what are your really challenging things? Dealing with a mental health substance use crisis that is really being fueled by poverty, is, I think, you know, I said, geez, if I could solve that in the city of Pittsfield, I could probably be famous. That folks could, right? Maybe
you could be in our Park Square.
You look at it and you say, okay, here's this issue. Is this a right thing or a wrong thing? You know, we have a houseless person who's, you know, hanging out in this location. What do you do? Move them along, let them sit there. And no matter who you talk to, you've got the wrong answer because someone is on the other side. And so, I mean, I think these are all the things that we need to slowly kind of look at. And, you know, we've had this conversation. So all the buzzwords, you know, mental health crisis, substance use disorder, blah, 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 blah. Let's get to the root cause. You know, the task force, I believe, has come to the conclusion that the root cause is poverty. And so that is not necessarily the leading issue per se. But when I'm dealing with a mental health issue or a substance use issue or I'm houseless, it doesn't take too many clicks or turns to get back to,
no,
geez, this is poverty. In a lot of cases, it is a systemic poverty that we need to kind of put a stick in the bike wheel and send whoever's on it flying and then start from that position to make things better.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of topics. I hope the people that are interested in the city, and I mean that, interested in the betterment of the city, not their little block or whatever. But I thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on at least once a month. I wish you the best for the Halloween parade.
That's tonight.
I know. But I do want to say thank you, Peter, for doing your best. I think you try every day. You get up at the plate and you swing the bat. You don't always hit a home run, but at least you're swinging the bat, and at least you're attuned and sensitive to the issues. So with that, my good friends, I am going to say God bless. And let's today, try to lift somebody else's burden. And make them smile. Be kind to them. We're in this together. You know, when you think about it, each other, that's all that we really have. And it's easier to be nice than it is to be nasty. And for the lady that ran up the back of my legs, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. At the big Y, in case you didn't notice, it's hard pushing a cart with a cane. And I'm sorry I held you up. But the scratches in the they've healed. Have a nice day. With that, Peter, don't go away. Hold on.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're going to go. Bye now. And remember, do something nice. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good luck. Talk to you next month or sooner.
Thank you. All right. Bye.